The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of power in this gospel, and certainly as it follows on from what we've seen so far in this, the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John. Right, we've seen that Jesus has already revealed that he is performing signs that point to him as the bread of life. And he wants us, by our participation in, by our consuming the bread of life, he wants us to have his own life of love at work in us and working through us. And here, again, he's digging and digging, right? He's digging a bit deeper. So here we see the whole dynamic on display. We see the whole work of the Trinity, right? God the Father is drawing people to Jesus that they may see and believe, that they may receive the bread of life, and that here we start to get into it. We'll see it in the next passage, that we have to eat him, right? We have to consume the bread of life. And we'll see that in perhaps more of its glory tomorrow. But here, what I'd like to focus on, our reflection on for the day, is to see that, yes, Jesus is the living bread. He's giving himself to us, and he reveals what the living bread is. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, this is, I think it's a great picture frame for us to put on, I could say, the whole story of Christianity, but I might also offer, our own lives of faith. Do we see Christianity, and do we see our own Christian experience as being lived this way? Jesus is giving us the bread of life, and the bread of life is his flesh for the life of the world. Do we see it that way? Do we see that Jesus, and we can tie it back to, not only earlier on in this passage, where he says, anyone who believes has eternal life, but we can see that Jesus, as the bread of life, wants us to participate in eternal life, which is God's own life. But here he's giving us some sense of what the purpose of it is. Because again, remember, we saw the problem in the beginning with the feeding of the multitude, is that they wanted to take what Jesus was doing and apply it to advance their own agenda. And that Jesus walks away from that. And here in this successive deepening of what he's going for, right, we see what his plan is. He's unfolding it. Right, so he's saying, this is the intention. So that was the sign. The feeding of the multitude was a sign that pointed to God's desire to nourish and sustain his people as they are about his purposes and his mission in the world. And here it is again. He's giving us the bread of life that is his flesh for the life of the world. So this kind, it makes sure that we are disciplined in our kingdom of God agenda that we are taking on. So we are called to be about God's work. We're called to bring his love to life in the world. We're called to advance his kingdom of justice and peace, of true prosperity for all peoples, harmony, right? We're called to advance his kingdom by our participation in worship and mission. This is a very dynamic concept. And here at the heart of it is Jesus. So it's his flesh given. It's not our achievement. It's his flesh. And it's given not for ourselves, right? That we've climbed the ladder of spiritual success and we find ourselves at the top such that we're able now to consume the bread of life. We've reached the top. This is the prize for the perfect. Here it is, the Eucharist. And I receive it and I'm cool. Couch potato Christian. You know, I don't have anything to do. I feel good, but I feel good about myself, right? We've kind of lived into a therapeutic view of religion there, a therapeutic view of Christianity, which is not Christianity at all. Christianity is all about gift. It's our reception of a gift that we cannot deserve, and then our giving ourselves away, not only in recognition of the gift, but participating in that gift that is nothing other than for the other life, for the other. Our life lived totally for the other. So it's ours to do it. It's ours to do it. It's on every page of the scripture, right? And here it is again. He's giving his flesh for the life of the world. So here's the other part of it, okay? Without launching a kind of full social criticism. But the sense is that, you know, when we look at the world, are we playing this us versus them game just as everybody else is? Right? Is it, you know, Christianity and then woe is me, the people who are persecuting me and I can't do it, whatever. I mean, I don't want to get into it because I find it so infuriating that I'm just going to get angry and it's not worth it. So it's, what do we have that in our hearts at all, this kind of us versus them? And the idea is, again, this kind of society of, I won't say the elect, because we are elect of God. We're chosen by God to be about his purposes. But is it the society of the self-made men? Is it the society of those who are perfect? We've made ourselves good. And that's the society that we want to live in as Christians. And we disdain all the rest around us. Right? Are we going to trap God in the confines of the pious? Do you know what I mean? We know that God is giving himself to us, but God wants to reach out to the entire world. But if we don't give him away, then he's limited in his ability to do that. I shouldn't say it like that. He can do it without us, but he chooses to do it with us. So we're really limiting ourselves in that way. But that's the challenge. Can we see this? His flesh for the life of the world. His flesh, Jesus' flesh, Jesus' own life of love, given to us as flesh, and then made flesh by us, not simply in receiving his flesh, but in bringing his love to life, making his love flesh in our bodies, right? This is what Jesus intends to have be the life of the world. He wants to reinvigorate the world with his love. And this is how he's chosen to do it. Are we going to go with him? This is his agenda. Are we going to go with him? Or are we going to try still to pursue our own agenda? Whatever that agenda is. Usually it's got a lot to do for us as Americans living in this day and age. Usually it's got a lot for us to do with comfort and pleasure. More comfort than anything else. That's just our age. We live in it. We're always looking to be comfortable. We're certainly looking to avoid being uncomfortable. And we put all of this, you know, all the good gifts of God, the scriptures and the rest, we make it fit in our narrative. And here's Jesus pushing back on his own, on the people of his day, but then, of course, for us as well. He's pushing back on us. Are we living our lives for the good of not simply the people around us, as though he's just entrusted these particular people to us and, oh, you know, happy coincidence, they all happen to be related to us and naturally I can love them, okay? No, the life of the world. Are we on the lookout for injustice? Are we on the lookout for suffering and people in pain? right? To help alleviate them of the great burden that they're carrying. Because that's what he intends. That's what he intends to have happen. And he gives us his flesh to live out his life for the good of the world. So that's if there's us versus them, if we were to make a distinction, right? So let me allow the fact that I think naturally we think in us versus them. For us versus them would be, okay, us, those who are relatively well provided for by the love of God, and them, those who desperately need it, and I must give it to them. So us versus them would mean that the we part of it would have to give ourselves away totally for the non-we part of it. It's a radically different view of the way that we're naturally inclined. But it's what Jesus is doing. And this is his plan. That's his project. And if it feels somewhat overwhelming to think that we have to take on the needs of the world, that we have to bear people's burdens and all the rest, so be it. We know what our limitations are. But Jesus here is renewing and reforming and all the rest. He's reinvigorating us, giving us new strength to live the life that we were always made to live, the life that he lived. And he's giving us the strength and sustenance of his own flesh to live this way, to bring his love to life, no matter where we are, no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what the cost happens to be.